going places and you could be in the driving seat. The brothers exchanged a glance. Then they grinned. It was as if one grin spread across two glistening red faces.
Our dad would have liked you, said Jim.
He sure as hell wouldn't like the Grand Trunk Devils, said Harry. They need cutting down to size, Mr. Litvig, and people are saying you're the man to do it.
People die on them towers, said Jim. We see, you know. Damn right. The towers follows the coach roads. We used to have the contract to all lads out to the towers and we heard them talking. They used to have an hour a day when they shut the old trunk down for maintenance.
The Hour of the Dead, they called it, said Harry. Just before dawn, that's when people die.
Across a continent, the line of light beads on the pre-dawn darkness. And then the Hour of the Dead begins, at either end of the Grand Trunk, as the upline and downline shutters clear their messages and stop moving one after the other. The men of the towers had prided themselves on the speed with which they could switch their towers from black and white daylight transmission to the light and dark mode of the night. On a good day, they could do it with barely a break in transmission, clinging to swaying ladders high above the ground, while around them the shutters rattled and chattered. They were heroes who'd lit all 16 lamps on a big tower in less than a minute, sliding down ladders, swinging on ropes, keeping their tower alive. Alive was the word they used. No one wanted a dark tower, not even for a minute. The Hour of the Dead was different. That was 1 hour for repairs, replacements, maybe even some paperwork. It was mostly replacements. It was fiddly to repair a shutter high up on the tower with the wind making it tremble and freezing the blood in your fingers, and always better to swing it out and down to the ground and slot another one in place. But when you were running out of time, it was tempting to brave the wind and try to free the bloody shutters by hand. Sometimes the wind won. The Hour of the Dead was when men died. And when a man died, they sent him home by clacks. Moist's mouth dropped open.
Huh? That's what they call it, said Harry. Not literally, of course. But they send his name from one end of the trunk to the other, ending up at the tower nearest his home.
Yeah, but they say sometimes the person stays on in the towers somehow, said Jim. Living on the overhead, they call it.
But they're mostly pissed when they say that, said Harry.
Oh yeah, mostly pissed, I'll grant you, said his brother. They got worked too hard. There's no Hour of the Dead now. They only get 20 minutes. They cut the staff too. They used to run a slow service on octodays. Now it's high speed all the time, except towers keep breaking down. We seen lads come down from them towers with their eyes spinning and their hands shaking and no idea if it's bum or breakfast time. It drives them mad, eh? Damn right.
Except that they're already mad, said Harry. You'd have to be mad to work up on them things.
They get so mad even ordinary mad people think they're mad.
That's right. But they still go back up there. The clacks drives them back. The clacks owns them, gets into their souls, said Harry. They get paid practically nothing, but I'll swear they'd go up those towers for free.
The Grand Trunk runs on blood now. Since the new gang took over, it's killing men for money, said Jim.
Harry drained his mug.
We won't have none of it, he said. We'll run your mail for you, Mr. Litvig, for all that you wear a damn silly hat.
Tell me, said Moist, have you ever heard of something called the Smoking Ganoo?
Dunno much, said Jim. Couple of the boys mentioned them once. Some kind of outlaw signallers or something. Something to do with the overhead.
What is the overhead? Dead people live in it?
Look, Mr. Litvig, we just listen, okay, said Jim. We chat to them nice and easy, because when they come down from the towers, they're so dozy, they'll walk under your coach wheels.
It's the rocking in the wind, said Harry. They walk like sailors.
Right. The overhead? Well, they say a lot of the messages the clacks carries is about the clacks, okay? Orders from the company, housekeeping messages, messages about messages.
Dead men's names, said Moist.
Yeah, them too. Well, the Smoking Ganoo is in there somewhere, Jim went on. That's all I know. I drive coaches, Mr. Litvig. I ain't a clever man like them up on the towers. Ha! I'm stupid enough to keep my feet on the ground.
Tell Mr. Litvig about Tower 93, Jim, said Harry. Make his flesh creep.
Yeah, heard about that one, said Jim, looking slyly at Moist.
No? What happened?
Only two lads were up there, where there should have been three. One of them went out in a gale to budge a stuck shutter, which he shouldn't have done, and fell off and got his safety rope tangled round his neck. So the other bloke rushed out to get him, without his safety rope, which he shouldn't have done. And I reckon he got blown right off the tower.
That's horrible, said Moist. Not creepy, though, as such.
Oh, you want the creepy bit? 10 minutes after they was both dead, the tower sent a message for help. Sent by a dead man's hand.
Jim stood up
and put his tricorn hat on. "Got to take a coach out in 20 minutes.